Saga Egmont presents Crack Baby by Darragh O'Shea, read by Padraig Quivonic. For Erin, my northern star. On scale father, the hay is far. The longest tale is not the best. Anonymous, 15th century. Author's note. As with Mother Folklore, this book is not intended to teach Irish, or to defend or denounce state policies pertaining to the Irish language in the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. It's not that I don't care about such policies. On the contrary, if someone could promise me that by writing that book I could end all those rehearsed, repetitive conversations forever, I'd write it. But nobody will make or keep that promise. What I've decided to do with the Mother Folklore podcast is to talk to people about their own personal relationships with Irish, people with different levels of fluency and varying backgrounds. We've had conversations about how the Irish language interacts with technology, with the legal system, its use online and offline. We've chatted with Irish speakers living abroad and Irish speakers who've come from far away. We've had the kinds of conversations that don't always make it to mainstream radio, due to a pathological need to only ever ask about the way it's taught and the costs involved. For me, that approach is like having the panellists after every football match discuss nothing but the offside rule, even though that's what they discussed last week and the week before, and even though everybody watching knows their position on it already. My hope is that people will enjoy this book regardless of their level of Irish, and maybe someone who hasn't used their Irish since school might be tempted to dip their toe back in, possibly even book themselves into an evening class. But also that we might be able to change the conversation a little bit. We can have better discussions about Irish and catch the attention of people who might otherwise tune out. Darragh O'Shea. P.S. For narrative purposes, in some instances people mentioned in this book have had their names changed or merged. Introduction. In March 2016, I was floating on a cloud. My wife and I had just moved into our first home. I had found a literary agent and was on the brink of signing a book deal. But most importantly of all, we were expecting our first child, and we already knew it was a little girl. The night before she was born, Erin and I wondered together what kind of person our daughter would grow up to be. Clever and beautiful, of course. Would she go to university in Dublin like her father, or Belfast like her mother? Erin never warmed to the familiar form ma'am, popular in the Republic. She would definitely start learning to drive earlier than her parents, who both left it ridiculously late. And obviously, she would go to the Gael School up the road. That wasn't even up for discussion. Our generation had been told how useless and pointless Irish was, but now our friends were telling us about their kids speaking Irish to each other on the way home from school. It didn't seem to be out of reach. None of these things seemed to be out of reach. All she needed was a name and a birthday. This conversation would come to haunt me over the following days. Shortly after La Serena was born, we were told that she had Down syndrome. This was not information we had prepared for, and neither of us had any relevant experience or knowledge to hear it as other than bad news. Our ignorance cast a shadow over this wonderful event, the arrival of our long-hoped-for daughter. The temptation to give up on the outside world was very strong. But Erin insisted that I not throw away my first serious opportunity to get published, so I pressed down hard on my feelings and kept writing. Down syndrome isn't an incapacity like blindness or deafness. It's a different kind of normal. It makes people more vulnerable to some illnesses and less vulnerable to others. Certain developmental milestones can happen later, but not always. As new parents, you discover that you have a baby with an extra chromosome, but you don't yet know how that will express itself. Any time over the next few months when something doesn't happen the way you expect it to, you're not sure if it's because of your child's condition or if she's just growing at her own pace. Waiting for the other shoe to drop builds a tension inside you. By mid-June, I was following a rigid rota of appointments with specialists, nappy changes, and night feeds, a routine that was beginning to feel like normality. With so much going on that made me feel helpless and useless, there was a real satisfaction in ticking off small chores. We were processing the news of the diagnosis in different ways, and I think now that the hectic business of meeting...